Begin the current daf Maseches Nedarim daf Ches. We begin on the bottom line of daf Zayinim Abeis, where the Gemara continues with different statements from Rav Gidl Marav, who we had quoted on the bottom of the previous daf, and they're all related to this arena of what we're discussing, this Masechta of Nedarim and Shavuos and so on. So the Gemara continues with Rav Gidl Marav, as we continue on top of Ches and Alf. Minayin shenishboyin l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. From where do we know that we make oaths to fulfill a mitzvah? I mean, you have to fulfill this mitzvah anyway, but that you make an oath to say, I swear that I'm going to do this mitzvah. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Nishbati va'akayema. I swear, and I will fulfill it, lishmer mishpote tzedkecha, to safeguard the commandments of your righteousness. Now, the Gemara's assumption is that Rav Gidl's halacha is coming to tell us that an oath can take effect on a mitzvah that is obligated, just like something which is permissible, which is what he's proving for the pasuk of Nishbati Vakayema, that I swear and I fulfill. That is, although it's a dvar mitzvah, you have to do it anyway, an oath can take effect, and now you're obligated because of the oath. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, V'haloi mushba v'oimim mehar Sinai hu, but when we were commanded at Har Sinai to do all the mitzvahs already, so there was an oath that we took upon ourselves to be obligated in fulfilling the mitzvahs. As the Ran proves from the Gemara in Shavuos of Chazayim et Alf, where the Pasuk says that if a person will make a Shavuos Bitoy, which is an oath, it says in the Pasuk whether he takes it lahara or lahate, whether to do bad or to do good, the Gemara there clearly explains it's talking about a Dvar Rishus, which is a non-mitzvah entity. I'm going to eat chocolate or I'm not going to eat chocolate, which is not whether it's a mitzvah or an avera. Because it cannot be referencing Toiv Ra as mitzvah or avera, because that shvu cannot take effect, because you're already required in a previous oath, that which was taken by Har Sinai. So if so, the question is, so what is his halacha? And moreover, what does the pasuk mean, Nishbati Vakayema, that I swear and I fulfill Lasa Mishpatei Tzidkecha, if you're already obligated on the oath from Har Sinai? So Elohok Mashmon, Rav the Gemara says, what Rav Gidl is coming to tell us, and what he's illustrating from the pasuk, is the shari lele inish lizruzi nafshi, is that a person is permitted to awaken himself to fulfill a mitzvah that he's already obligated in already from before. In other words, what Rav Gidl is coming to tell us is, where do we know that it's an appropriate thing to take a shvut to fulfill a mitzvah? In other words, even though upstanding individuals withhold themselves from taking shvuos, still they make a shvua when it comes to fulfilling mitzvahs, that we see by David HaMelech, where he says, Nishbati Vakayema, where David HaMelech did the same thing. Now the Rush points out, so if we already are obligated to do the mitzvah from our oath that we took by Har Sinai, so what is this new Shavua? So he says it's not considered mentioning Hashem's name in vain, because that's what his halacha is coming to tell us. You see from David HaMelech that although you're obligated anyway, but that's a fulfillment of being mezaris yourself, of getting yourself to do something. I swear I'm going to do this mitzvah because, you know, it's a really challenging mitzvah. And so we see from the pasuk that that's not considered mentioning Hashem's name in vain, even though you're already mechuyev in the shvua, and it's not going to have a shvua chal on that shvua because you already have it from Har Sinai. You see from the pasuk it's not considered inappropriate. Now, moreover, the Rush says, and if you're going to say that the shvua that the person is taking you right is not with Hashem's name, because if it was with Hashem's name, then it would be in vain because you're obligated from your shvua from Har Sinai already. He says still that what the Gemara's question was, that it should be prohibited to make a shvua since you're already obligated in the shvua from before, and so you're mentioning Hashem's name in vain now when you're taking your new shvua. So even though you're not saying Hashem's name, but we wouldn't want you to take a shvua so that you don't get accustomed to making shvuas, and then you might come to make shvuas on other things, even for non-mitzvah items. And that's what Reb Gidl's halacha is teaching from David HaMelech, that no, when it comes to dvar mitzvah, you could go ahead and make a shvua again. Either the chiddush is that it's not considered mentioning Shem Shemaim L'Batala, or even if you're not mentioning Hashem's name, that we're not concerned that you're going to come to make shvuas on other things, because it's important to get yourself going when it comes to fulfilling mitzvahs. Now, another related halacha from V'Amar Reb Gidl Marav, he says, Ha'omer Ashkim Ve'esh Neperek Zeh. If somebody says, you know what, I'm really inspired, I'm going to get up and learn this perek, this chapter, or Esh Nemesech Dezu, I'm going to learn this Mesech, this tractate. So on that, Rav Gidl Marav says, Neder Gadol Nadol Elokei Yisrael. This person has taken a great vow to the God of the Jewish people. So, which essentially it sounds like he's saying that it's a considered neder. On that, the Gemara asks, but V'haloi Mushba V'Oimer Hu. we already are obligated in learning Torah from Har Sinai. And ve'ein shvuah chal al shvuah, an oath cannot take effect on a previous oath. In other words, as the Ran explains, although the wording of Rav Gidl sounds like the person is taking a neder, he said neder gadol, obviously you're referencing, which is the Gemara's question of Rav Gidl Marav, you're talking about a shvuah, because the wording that the person used of esh neperek zeh, I'm going to learn this perek, is obviously a shvuah and not a neder, because a neder, as we explained in the beginning of this mesechta, is when you create an isser, a prohibition, in an object, in the chefza. And therefore, it can never be in an action to say, I'm going to do something to be a neder, that's only by a shvuah. So therefore, the Gemara's questioner is asking, you're most definitely talking about a shvuah. As we find many places where we call a shvuah a neder, as later on in the Mishnah Daf Tes, we find this concept. So therefore, the questioner is asking on Rav Gidl, now if you're referencing a shvuah, that I swear I'm going to learn this parak, this mesechta, now a shvuah cannot take effect on the previous shvuah, to create an obligation of, if you violate that, to bring a carbon. Now the question is, since you said the words neder gadol, sounds like you're saying that it has all the applications of a halacha of shvuah. That's why you're saying neder gadol. Now, how could that be if you're already obligated in learning Torah from Har Sinai? That's one of the Targ mitzvahs. Now, and if you're going to say, my kamash b'lan, what is this halacha of gadol teaching, that fila zruzi bi'alma, that even if you're right, you're obligated to learn Torah from Har Sinai, but because you just want to awaken yourself and inspire yourself and force yourself to learn that perek, that mesechta. And that's why you said nedl gadol, not because the word gadol meaning great, meaning to say that it has all the implications of the halacha of shvuah, rather means to say that it's a praiseworthy, gadol as in great, as in praiseworthy, and because a person should do that. I swear I'm going to learn this perek, this mesechta, so that you're going to make yourself do it. But if that's what he's teaching, it's the hanan of gidol kamaisa, then that's essentially the same halacha from the previous statement of Rav Gidl Marav, which said that even though it's a mitzvah already and you're obligated, that you could be nishboin l'kaimis a mitzvah. So what is this other halacha of Rav Gidl Marav teaching? So that the Gemara teaches, no, ha'kamash b'lan. The chiddush is that actually, it's not just a lezruzi nafshi type of a shvuah. It's actually that the shvuah that you take to learn this parak, learn this mesechta, will take effect as a shvuah. Now why is that? But you're already obligated to learn Torah from Har Sinai. And the reason being is because if a person wanted, he could fulfill and exempt himself from his learning of the morning and the night time with just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and the night time. And that's why the oath to specifically learn this parak, this Mishnah, do more learning than the basic Kriya Shema morning and night time. So that's why the Shvuah could take effect. Now the Ran, it comes to specifically as a disclaimer, and he says, it's not really true that a person can just learn one, say Kriya Shema in the morning and say Kriya Shema at night time. The reason being is because it's a pasuk that says, "V'gisa b'yomem alayla." A person has to be learning Torah day and night as much as he could. As the Gemara brings the Masechtas Kedushin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it says in the Kriya Shema b'shinantam, shinantam means that you should be sharp, meaning that the word should be sharp in your mouth. You have to know Torah so well that if somebody asks you a question, you shouldn't have to even stumble for a second. You should automatically be able to tell them the answer. Now, obviously, saying Kriya Shema just in the morning and night time is not going to cut it. That's not going to be enough. So what does the Gemara mean to say that the reason why it takes effect is because the obligation of Torah doesn't require you learn this Masechta, this Perek. It's enough just with Kriya Shema in the morning and night time. So on that, the Ran says that from here, he wants to bring a proof to what he explained in Perek Shvur Shtayim, the second one, that anything that's learned out from a drasha, from an exposition, even though it's a biblical halacha, but since it's not written explicitly in the pasuk, so regarding such an area of halacha, a shvuah could be take effect in it, that you have to fulfill that. Now, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Since regards to what the pasuk says, which is only b'shach b'chov kumecha, says that you have to say the Shema, which is a reference to Talmud Torah, on the evening and in the morning, regards to what's written in the Torah, you could fulfill that obligation by just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and night time. Now, because of that, your shvuah could take effect, even to say that if you don't learn this parak or this mesechta, that you're going to have to bring a carbon. And that's what Rav Gidl Marav is saying, that it's a neder gadol, meaning that it has all the halachas, like when you make a neder in regards to a dvar rishos, even though this is a dvar mitzvah, and it's biblical that you have to learn all day and all night. Just when you have to go to work, there's an exemption of Vasafta de Ganecha. But in regards to the rest of the day, you have to learn Parakim and Mesechtas, So the reason why it could take effect, he says, is because it's only from a drasha. So albeit, although that it's biblical, the shavu could still take effect. And if you violate that, then you have to bring a carbon. Again, a related discussion from the same Amoyev, Rav Gidl Morav, says, here it's a little bit different. Someone tells his friend, Nashkim benishna perigzeh. Instead of saying like in the previous one, where I'm going to get up, I'm going to learn. He tells his friend, okay, you know what? You know, ish esri eya zayur la'ochav yimachazak. Says, you know, let's get up early and let's learn this perek. So on that, Rav Gidl says, name of Rav, Olav lahashkim. He has to be the one to get up early. Now, the reason being is because since he said to his friend, let us get up, so he accepted the responsibility that he's going to be the one that's going to be the pusher, the motivator. Just like he's doing that right now. He's the one that came up with the idea. So on that, Aran says, we're learning out two halachas from this statement. First of all, that just with an acceptance to do a dvar mitzvah, like learning a certain parak or a sefer or a masechta, that it helps just by saying those words. Because here, no words of neder or shvu are taken. And still, by just saying the words, that's enough to obligate him, just like we find in different parameters of halacha, like for tzedakah, where beficha means tzedakah, and other dvar mitzvahs that just by accepting that you want to do it, it's already responsibility. Now, another chiddush is also that not only that you have to do it now, but that it's your job now to be the motivator and to get up earlier than your friend to get him up and to make sure you're learning. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Shenem, like it says the pasuk in Yecheskel. The Navi says that Hashem said to me, "Kum tzeil abiku, go out to the open fields, v'shama dabo esach, and there I'm going to speak with you." And it goes on. The pasuk says, "Ve'esel abiku," and they went out to the valley. V'hinei sham kavod Hashem, and there is the glory of Hashem standing there, meaning Hashem, who He told him to go out. So it was like the one, so to speak, who says nashkim benishna, and Hashem was the one that was there first. That's what Rav Gidl is saying. Olav lahashkim, He has to be the one to get up first. Nothing more continues with the discussion of the previous daf, which was talking about nidui, about excommunication. Again, that was introduced because in our Mishnah, one of the words Rabbi Kiva was chaychech lahachem, to say it's a ned, there was menuda nilcha. So we got into the discussion of nidui, so the Gemara continues that discussion. Amar Rav Yosef, he says, nidui b'chaloyim. If a person was placed in nidui, in his dream he saw that he was being excommunicated, So he needs 10 people to permit the nidui, meaning to undo it. Now the reason being is because since it's possible that in his dream it was a message from Hashem that he's in nidui, so he needs 10 people to permit it because divine presence rests, the Shekhinah is with 10 people. And so just like Hashem put him in nidui, he needs Hashem to undo it, which is the Shekhinah, which is when you have 10 people. Now, Rabbi Yisrael says, V'hu detanu hilchasa. Now the girsa of the Ran actually is, which means to say that that's only 10 people that teach others. Avo masnu v'loitanu, which the girsa of the Ran is, but avo tanu, but they're not masnu, meaning that they only learn but they don't teach, then loy, that's not enough for 10 people because they're not so significant to be able to matter his nidur. Now, however, he does bring the girsa which we have in our Gemara, which the interpretation of that is v'hu detanu hilchasa. The 10 people have to be those that learn hilchasa, which means to say Gemara. But avamasnu v'leitonu, but if they only learn Mishnais and not Gemara, then loy, that's not significant enough for them to be the 10 people to be matter as nidur. Now, however, v'ilekha detanu hilchasa, but if there aren't 10 people that learn Gemara, afilu masnu v'leitonu, then even 10 people learn Mishnais and don't learn Gemara could be the ones to be matter as nidur. Now, v'ilekha, and if you don't even have that, so leizel v'leisav aprasha drachim, so you should go and sit by the fork in the road, v'yav shlomo l'beyud, and he should say Shalom Aleichem, he should give peace, greetings to 10 people. Now, as the Ran explains, because since they're going to tell him back Aleichem Shalom, they're going to give him back greetings of peace. So those brachas, so to speak, of Aleichem Shalom will protect him from affliction because of his nidui. Ad mekali le'asar degamri helchus, until he finally gets 10 people together who learn Gemara, and they'll be matters his nidui. You sit on the crossroads so that at least you'll get the Shalom Aleichem that will protect you up until then. Now, continuing on this theme, Omali Ravin Ravashi, he says, what's if Yodam Man Shamte? Let's say he knows who excommunicated him in his dream. Ma'a delishra, like, what's the halacha? Could that person go ahead and permit the nidui? And the reason being is because whoever does the nidui, that same person could undo that. As the Gemara says in Ma'id Kut and Avid Zayin Medav, where he says, go to him, the one who put your nidui, and he'll permit it for you. So what's halacha? Could that person who in his dream put him in nidur, could he permit him? So amalei, so Rav Ashi said to Ravina, l'shamutei shabishlich. Maybe that from heaven they appointed this person to put you in chayr. But l'mishrei l'shabishlich, who said that to permit you, did they appoint a mishlech? Maybe they didn't, and therefore he can't go ahead and permit it for you. Amalei Rav Acha Rav Ashi. Rav Acha asked Rav Ashi a different question. He says, what's if shamtei b'shor le'bechal me'mai? What's if in the dream, not only did they excommunicate him, but then they went and undid it, they permitted. What's Allah? Is he okay now? Because not only did they put him in shamtei, but they also took him out? So Amalei Rav Ashi said, no, not necessarily. Because k'shem she'ef shalabar b'leitem, just like it's not possible to have grain without the chaff, which that's the outer part that comes together with the grain, as we continue on Tamad Beis, so so too, it's not possible that a dream doesn't have some insignificant, irrelevant factors in that dream, which is based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Chaf Gimel, which says Asher Itay Chaloim, and it goes on and says Umala Tevenes Abar, which the Gemara elsewhere darshins that just like the grain has some irrelevant chaff, so too a dream has some irrelevant ideas, and therefore the Rush explains that what he was answering to him was that maybe the fact that they permitted the Shamta and undid it, maybe that was the Dvarim B'Teilim. Maybe those were the irrelevant things. And therefore, even though they permitted it, that's not necessarily that that was undone, because that might be the irrelevant parts. And therefore, the person would still have to find 10 people who learn Gemara and to be matur his state of Nidr. Now, the Gemara introduces a story. Now, our Girsa has Ravina Havale Nidr L'Debesa, that Ravina had that his wife had a neder, a vow that she had taken. Now, which that would be related to the discussion of our Masechta of Nedarim. However, the Rashbam brings the Girsa of Nidui, which means to say that his wife was in the state of Nidui, which then, obviously, that would be the continuation of the previous Gemara's discussion, which is regard to the topic of Nidui. But our Girsa has it that his wife had a neder that she had taken. So Asli Kamed Rav Ashi came in front of Rav Ashi. So Amalehi asked Rav Ashi, Baal Mao Sheyo'osa Shaliach Lecharotas Ishtai. I mean, there's two ways of a woman's neder being undone. It's either that the Baal is made for it, which means that he could just abolish it because when he hears it that day, or it goes through a chacham who's mata the neder, which means to say that he finds a halachic loophole to say that, and that based on the concept of charata, where the woman regrets and says, oh, if I would have known the ramifications of what my neder would have been, I would never have taken it. And so therefore the Chacham says, okay, that means to say that it wasn't a valid neder. So his question to Rav Ashi was that, can I be a shliach for my wife to represent her in expressing her charata for the neder that you could be matrit? Now, the Ram brings from the Rambam in Perek Vav Mechel Shvuas that the Gemara's question was only regarding the husband. Because the husband essentially is really like his wife. We know Ishtai Kegufay and Baal Keishtai. But somebody else, he says, most definitely would not be able to be a shliach, because you need to have the neder, the one who took the neder itself, to be in front of those who are permitting it. But however, the husband was his question, can he be her representative, because essentially he's like her, to present her charata. So Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, he says, no, even by the husband, it depends. If the 10 people are already gathered over there, so then yes, the husband can then be the shliach of the wife to present the charata for the neder to be permitted. But if not, that he has to go ahead and gather the 10 people himself, then even though it's ishtei kegufay, he's like the same body as his wife, still they weren't that lenient regarding the husband. It's only where they're already there. But to go ahead and gather them together and make a special gathering for that, it's clear that the one who took the neder itself has to be there, and then the wife would have to, and the husband wouldn't be able to go ahead to present the charata to have the neder undone. That explains the Ran, is the opinion of the Rambam. But the Taisis actually says the other way around. And they say to the contrary. They say, regards to another person, for sure that person could be a shliach. Shliach shalom is always kamaisa. It's like the person himself. And the whole Gemara's question was regarding the husband. The reason being is because we're concerned. And since when a person's spouse takes a neder, it's very harsh on the other spouse, he might come to add on and embellish hacharata and make it more than what it really is, which would then be undoing the neder inappropriately. Now, that is what Rav Ashi responds, and he says, if the people are already there, then it could be the shlich. If not, not. And the reason being for this is because if they're already there, so he doesn't have to go through the effort of gathering 10 men who are learned. So we're not concerned then that he's going to add on to Hacharata. But if they're not gathered, and therefore then you have two reasons why we should suspect him. First of all, the wife's neder, the spouse neder, is difficult for him. So he might come to embellish it. Moreover, he had a very difficult time gathering these people. And he's going to want to make sure that now they finally take care of this nether problem he has with his spouse. So therefore, then we're concerned, and that's why we don't allow him to represent her then. But regarding someone else, since that person doesn't make a difference if they end up permitting the nether or not, so we're not concerned that that person is going to embellish and add on to the charata. And therefore, actually, according to the Bali Taisvis, it's going to be permitted always with the shliach, and the Gemara's discussion was only in regards to the husband. So again, he said regarding the husband, it's only if they're there, but if he has to gather them, then not. So that the Gemara says, Shmam and Atlas, within three halachas from Rav Ashi's response. Shmam and first of all, we learned that Baal Nasir Shlich, Lacharatz Sishli, the basic halacha that the husband could be the messenger for his wife's regret. Bishmam and the second thing we learn is, Loishari Lemishri Nidra, Ba'asr de Rabbi, that a person is not allowed to be permitting Nidarim where in the place of where his teacher is. Now, the reason being how we learn that from this is because if not, Ravino, who he himself was a Talmud Chacham, he himself would have been the Chacham to be matter the nether of his wife. Now, the fact that he went to Rav Ashi and asked him, obviously it's because you cannot be matter the nether where your Rebbe, where your teacher lives. Bishmamina, and the third halach is, as we said, Ki Mechanfin, only if they're already gathered, then Shabbat Dami, then it's okay for the husband to be the Shlech. Now, however, the Gemara does say that Bishamta, regarding excommunication, which is different than the nether, then Afila Ba'asr de Rabbi, then even if your Rebbe lives there, then you could go ahead and be Mata the nether. In other words, if Rav Ashi, if Ravina's wife was excommunicated, then he himself would have gone ahead and did it. It's only because it was only a nether. The reason being is, as Taisus says, is because sometimes the Rav is not available, or maybe he's not around. Therefore, you don't want to push off someone getting out of a state of excommunication. Whereas regarding a nether, there's not such a concern because it's not such a problem about pushing off someone undoing the nether that they have, and that you could wait until the Rav is available to permit it. But regarding excommunication, you don't want to delay a person to coming out of that. And therefore, regarding a shamta, the halacha would be that a person could do even though it's in the place of where his Rebbe is. Now, another halacha is that v'yachad mumcha shori shamta, an individual who's a professional that's learned in the halachas, also could permit a shamta on their own. Now, the Ram points out that the last two halachas that the Gemara said are not learned out from the incident of Ravina and Ravashi. It's just that once we mentioned that it's not appropriate to permit a neder where your teacher is, so it said, however, that regarding shamta, you're allowed to, and also that a yachad mumcha could permit a shamta on their own. Now, the Gemara returns to what was discussed on the previous daf and of Zayin Mabez regarding that it was told about the halachas of nidui, of excommunication, and said that some of them mentioned Shem Shemaim Levatala, God's name in vain, will deserve to be put in nidui. Now, Amr B'Shimon Bar Zvid, Amr B'Yitzchak Bar Tavla, Amr B'Chia Aricha, Debeir B'Acha, Amr B'Zera, Amr B'Laza, Amr B'Chanina, Amr Maishia, and this was all said Mishmeid Rebihuda Bar Eloi, says, Maidichsiv, what does this mean, the Pasuk in Malachi? That says, V'zarcho lechem, it will shine for you, Yireshmi, those who fear my name. Now, the parentheses has the words, which is the continuation of the Pasuk, which the Gemara will shortly explain, Shemesh Tzedakah B'Goymer, the son of right, of charity, etc. Who is this in reference to, that Hashem is promising that the sun will shine for them who fear my name? So that, and this is why we're introducing this, is Elu B'nei Adam, these are people, Shehen Yireyin Lahaitzi Shem Shemaim Levatala. That's what Yireshmi, they fear my name, and they're afraid to mention Hashem's name in vain. They're the ones that get this reward. As we said, how bad it is, those who are afraid and don't do it get a reward. Now, when the Pasuk says, Shemesh Tzedakah Marpe, that the reward is the son of charity and of healing, so Amabaya, Abaya says, Shema Minoz, what we can infer from this is that Chir Gedayime, which is the dust particles that are visible in the sun when it comes through the window, you see that, and that Masay, obviously, that's healing, and that's what comes from the sun. It's not necessarily dust, but it's what's that's those particles that are from the sun, that's healing, and that's what it's saying, that it's a shemesh tzedakah u'marpe. Now, Ebo, pligi de b'shem melakish. But this interpretation augurs on b'shem melakish. Because the Amakaz Rish Lakish said, ein gehenem la'olam haba. And this is where it argues on, because Rish Lakish is saying that this is a reference, this pasuk, regards to the world to come, not like this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, which said it's regarding people that fear Hashem's name, they get it even now from the particles that come from the sun. And he says in reference to the world to come, he says there's no Gehenna in the world to come. Now the Ran explains, it's not talking about when the person dies, because obviously there is Gehenna for wicked people after they die. It's a reference to the world to come. After the whole of this world, El Mazeh, is done, and is the Tchias HaMeisim, the resuscitation of the dead, that those wicked people who the Pasuk says in Daniel that they're going to be forever in a state of destruction, they're not going to be judged in Gehenna. Ella, rather, the judgment they're going to have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzi Chama Min Artika. Hashem is going to take the sun out of its case, out of its sheath. Now, what the consequence is going to be is that Tzadikim Misrapin Ba, the righteous are going to be healed from that. And the wicked are going to get judged and punished from that. Shanem, like it says in the pasuk that we just quoted, which is where he differs from Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, who learns it on this world, and he's learning from the world to come. The pasuk says, "V'zaruch alechem yirei shemi," that the sun will shine for you those who fear my name. Shemesh, the sun, begoyim, etc. And we said that it's umarpe, it's healing. Now, v'loyed, not only that, ela shemis anen, but rather they even, not only is it healing, sometimes healing is not so pleasant, but they actually delight in it. Shem, like it says at the end of the pasuk, it says, "V'tzasim," you're going to go out, "ufish them ke'egli marbek," and you're going to flourish like the calves of the stall. You're just going to have a really good time. Now, v'arishoim nidoyin, but however, the wicked are going to get judged and punished from that. Shem, like it says in the pasuk before that, it says, "Hine yoyin ba," behold, the day will come, "boyu katan," are burning like a furnace. Megoyim, etc., where the pasuk says, "V'hoyichol zedim," and that all the wicked, "V'chol oisei rishon," all those who do bad, will be kash, like straw. "V'liad oisem hayem haba," and that coming day will burn them and consume them. Hamar Hashem Tzavakas, says Hashem Tzavakas, therefore this sun that is not contained anymore, just coming at full blast, will be great for the righteous and harmful for the wicked. And again, that differs from the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, who was interpreting it on those who are Yirei Shemi, that fear to mention Shem Shemayim Levatala, again, even in this world.